Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined, as always, by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How are you this afternoon, Cody?
Well, you started this one in Spanish, and we re-recorded it, but fantastico.
Fantastico. Very good. Yeah, I was going to try to make my Spanish work. And Amy, the co-founder of The Table Group. How you doing, Amy?
Hi, guys. I can't wait to hear how I'm going to embarrass myself today.
All right. That's why we have you on, Amy. I know. We've got Matt, our engineer, on. How you doing, Matt? Matt nods. That's great. Tracy is still out, so our title today is what, Cody?
We got her. Re-entry sucks.
Re-entry sucks. That's right. That's what we're going to talk about today. This idea of re-entry, going back to work. A lot of you have already gone back to work. Some haven't. Some are still working remotely. We know it's a sliding scale, but this whole idea of like the economy coming fully back online or people going back to work and opening up, it's going to suck. Now, the reason why that's interesting is not because we're making a commentary on going back to work. It's because whenever you get used to anything, it's a real transition to go back, even though this is supposed to be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But when people get let out of prison, life really sucks. And you're like, but you're out of prison. It's like, yeah, but I got used to it. When a war ends for a soldier, we're like, yay, the war is over. They come back to society, and it's really hard to transition back. So it's not about whether the change is a good thing or a bad thing. And I would argue this is a really good thing, but people are going to be surprised when we go back to school and go back to work and people are going back into the office. The bad parts are going to hit right away.
Yeah.
My profound statement is transitions in general kind of suck.
Right. Even if it's a good one.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is I think it's even worse because it's easy to say at the beginning of all this when everything closed down, like, oh, obviously that sucks because that sounds like a bad change.
And everybody was like, oh, how are you doing? I'm sorry. Let's check in.
Yep. But this one, it's almost worse because you don't anticipate it when you think, oh, this is a good thing. So it shouldn't suck. And then you get blindsided by the fact that this is hard. And so I think that's the part of this is it's not advocating whether or not, oh, we should or shouldn't go back. Like we love being back, but there are still things that are going to come up that are going to be uncomfortable.
And the loss, the hurt part, the bad part comes right away. The good part comes later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to say to people is don't be surprised that in your first week or first month back to work, if it's harder, it's going to be harder on you and your family. You're going to be more tired. There's going to be more conflict. There's going to be more problems because you're going to have to get used to this again.
Right. And we've been talking a lot about this with different people. You're starting to get this question a lot, Pat, in your events and so forth about how do I handle my team when they come back? And you know, we did a podcast last week around focusing on the mission, but at the same time, you kind of have to let them feel those losses. So what's the advice you would give to leaders who are dealing with their employees who are feeling those losses?
First of all, realize there's not just one kind of loss. So two people leaving their home office or having flexibility and working virtually, whatever, and going back to work are going to have completely different senses of loss. Some, it's going to be just, you know, the whole idea of structure. I had flexibility and I could do all this and I liked that.
Could be as little as I got to make my own food.
Exactly.
In the middle of the day.
Exactly. Some, it's going to be about attachments. It's going to be, actually, I got used to seeing my kids or my husband or wife or my pet. Mm-hmm. And literally, it's going to be a huge loss to say, I'm not going to see them during the day. For other people, it's going to be about kind of meaning in life. Like they felt like for the first time they were kind of an entrepreneur and they were working from home and now they're going to go back to working for the man, as they say, or the woman, whatever that, how we say that these days. And so everybody is going to have a different sense. And the different kinds of losses are identity, structure, purpose, future, control, meaning, and attachments. So when you sit down with your people and they're like, this is really hard, take them through that list and say, which of these are you struggling with? And it really helps people to put their finger on it. It's like, oh, it's not just going back to work. It's that one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's that one.
Be specific.
Yeah. But then ultimately, you're going to have to say, so what are you going to do? What do you want to do about it? You know, you could argue to stay virtual. There's companies that are doing that. I heard at Apple, they're rebelling some of their employees because they said, we want you to work 3 days a week in the office. And they're like, no, this is wrong. And we could talk all about that. But the point is, people have a choice. It's like they can try to get their company to restore completely virtual flexible, or they can replace it with another job that allows them to do that, or they can redesign what it means to work and go back, or they can give it up altogether and decide, I want to rethink how work, what work means. But that's your choice.
Right. Choose your response. I mean, we love the transition model. We've done other podcasts about it, but we thought that today talking about it in this context would be really helpful to you all. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say this. I think one of the things that's so interesting is most of the conversation that's taking place around this reentry is companies and leaders and teams looking for a model. And it goes back to like, so what is the, so should we follow the 3 days a week plan? They want to solve, and really what it is, the underlying part is a smart versus healthy thing. It's sort of like a, hey, let's focus on the system. And if we get the right system back in place, then, you know, if it's Apple's 3 day a week system, then that's the thing that's going to solve the woes of our people. When in reality, the reason that we're talking about losses is because if you don't get the human side of this, and if you don't start anticipating the fact that some of this is going to suck, and if you can't have conversations about why it sucks without just going, hey, this is the right plan, then you're hosed, you know?
There are companies that take harder lines on things, but help their people deal with them, and they're more successful, and others that give them tons of flexibility or choice, but they don't really treat them well, and it collapses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because transitions are emotional. They're not intellectual.
Right.
And so you can't just design a transition. You have to let people go through it.
And most leaders just want it to be intellectual. Can't we just read a white paper and implement that?
They really do. But it's possible. I mean, human beings adjust.
Right.
And you have to just let them.
Yeah, and make it easy for them to adjust. But that doesn't mean it's going to be always what they want, but people can adjust to things.
Right.
And so that's what this is about. Now, the problem is when you go through something positive and you're surprised by the loss, that's the big issue. Mm-hmm. So people are going to go back to work and they're going to go, nobody's happy. This company's never going to make it. And they're going to panic and they're going to readjust and over-adjust this way. And they're going to have town hall meetings and there's going to be franticness. Just go, no, this is normal. Everybody goes through this. There is going to be a few months of really crazy, difficult time in getting people back to whatever the new normal is.
This is going to be the most touchy-feely thing I've ever said, but it's almost
I can't wait.
Leaders need to let people feel their feelings.
Oh, feel their feelings.
Your other thing is worse, where you say you need to feel it to heal it, right?
Do you
want to tack that on?
Yeah, feel it to heal it.
It's all true. It's just how you say it, you know? But this is the hard thing because people want to talk about the good thing. Well, we're going back. It's going to be great. And right. It's like, actually, it's going to suck before it gets great.
That's right.
Well, and this is where the transition model that we covered a few episodes ago is like, I think this is where the picture is a big part of this, where you're painting the picture of the future, like, hey, not right now, but very soon, maybe weeks and months from now, we're going to be in rooms together serving our customers better or having better conversations and better meetings, like trying to paint whatever that picture is that helps us wade through the transition zone. Because otherwise, you get back and you're like, well, I don't have the flexibility and oh no, I don't, you know, like there's all these things that are coming up that I don't like as much. Then you probably will have a tendency, like we talk about that neutral zone is you kind of let go of the ledge and you swim out into the deep end. Well, a lot of people will try to swim back.
Right.
You know? And so without that picture of why are we doing this? Why is this good?
You know, what's interesting. And we hadn't planned to talk about all this until we got here today, but I think that we also talk about the ending, you know, is you need to ceremonialize the end of things. Companies that go back to work, they're talking about, we're going to phase it in slowly and all that. You should have a big freaking party and go, it's going to be the first day that we're back in the office. Let's have a big party. Now, I know they're going to say, well, is that safe and blah, blah, blah. But the point of the matter is parties in transition are funerals.
Yeah.
Some kind of marker.
Some sort of marker.
Be a party.
It's the end of ultimate flexibility.
Everyone like, should bring their ring light to work and smash it in the parking lot.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And because graduation is a funeral for being a student. A wedding is a funeral for being single.
Right.
You know, we mark the end of the old thing. And what we need to have a party so people can go, all that flexibility I got used to, that's over.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a phenomenal idea. I would love to hear any listeners that actually do this.
Yeah.
What was your ending ceremony for when you guys go back to normal, quote unquote?
And you know what's key is to celebrate the past. to go, remember how cool it was that we got to do this? Remember that we, you know, all the things. You're going to have to mourn the loss of what you liked about this time. And then that's going to allow you to move forward and readjust to the goodness of the new thing too.
It's kind of like going back to, remember when we didn't really know what Zoom was all that much?
Yeah.
You know, isn't that funny? It'll be the same, but the other way.
Well, it'll be interesting, like, because some people who are listening to this, there are leaders that are like, oh yeah, I should do that. I should memorialize this in some way. There are some people who are already back to work and that didn't happen. And so like, you probably should be hearing this and going, if your company's not doing this, there, you need personal ceremonies to say like, I kind of have to put this to bed and realize that there's no more floating. Like I have to step into this new transition, you know, like, and in some ways we should do that ourselves if our companies are not going to do that for us.
You know, I was thinking about our kids going to school in the fall. It's going to be traumatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. Like at the end, my boys were going 4 days a week, which they was just like, how am I going to do that?
Right.
Most of the year they were 2 days a week. And then it's going to go back to 5 days a week. And instead of going, good luck to you kids, you're out of the house, we should really go and say, this is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go do something and call out the fact that you're about to enter a really hard phase. Let's celebrate the fact that the summer's over and the last year is over, because September is going to hit them really, really hard.
Yeah. And when you're, if you're a leader or a parent and you're hearing either your employees or your kids complain, they're scrapping for how to respond. So they're either like, if they're complaining, they're like, maybe if I complain a lot, I can go back to how it was. I can go back to all Zoom or somehow something will change. But they're really just trying to work through it.
Yeah. And it might simply be like, what did you like about being home? And they're going to have different answers. Some are going to be like, hey, I liked that me and my friends got to play COD every day. You know, COD is Call of Duty for those who don't have teenage boys, aren't a teenage boy. And some are going to be like, no, I just liked being able to sleep. Because one of the things I've always lamented is I think kids should sleep more. And I thought, man, I wish school would start at 9:30.
My daughter liked getting up at 8:29 for an 8:30 class, you know?
That's my style too. No, I do think it's important. Like when you just said, hey, we should go tell our kids that this is going to be hard. We should be telling our employees the same thing, mm-hmm. that this is going to be hard. Because what happens is if we tend to just go out there and say, isn't this great? And then someone, many of them go back to work and they're like, this isn't great. You feel isolated or disconnected or discombobulated. Is something wrong with me?
Right.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe I should not work here. Maybe I should find a new job versus, hey, no, this is going to be hard for a lot of us.
And when people make those decisions because of they're just in the transition rather than it's wrong, then they regret that. Mm-hmm. Cody, you mentioned something before I should have went to this, but when you're in the neutral zone, so you're back to work now, let's say you're a week into it, you got to remember the four P's, which is why are we doing this? And remind your people, because we can get more done if we're here a lot together. And if you can't, then you should go back to the other way.
Right.
But it's like, you're going to have to remind your employees.
More done. Like we talked about efficiency versus effectiveness.
Yes.
It might not be the quantity of work, because there's probably a lot of people that went home and were like, actually, I get quite a bit done here at my house. And then they use that as the way of saying we should stay home.
Yeah.
But what you mean is the effectiveness of what we're doing.
Yes.
That we're having the right conversations, that we're like hearing what's going on, sort of the ambient work that takes place at work.
Right. Which is tiring. Mm-hmm. I mean, though people talked about it's tiring to be on Zoom calls all day, there was something really efficient about like going, okay, that call's over.
You always knew where you were.
Exactly.
Right.
And go. So why are we going back to work? Leaders should constantly remind people this is why. Mm-hmm. And then say, hey, remember, here's the benefits of it. We're going to get used to this again. And here's why it'll be nice, the picture.
Yep.
And then the plan is, here's how we're going to phase it in. You know, and then the part is, okay, if you need extra help with something, here's who you should talk to. So if you go back and listen to that podcast, we go through that model. I think there were two podcasts. We went through the model in detail. People liked that one a lot too. This will be really helpful. The problem is for leaders is don't think you're flipping a switch and saying on July 1st, we're all back in the office. If you do that, you are going to be in for a world of hurt.
That's right.
And this happens in almost every area of life. Now, what do you think? So let's go back. We've been at work for a long time. Think about the first, when we were locked down at home, what was your favorite? What was the biggest loss for you, Cody and Amy, when we finally did come back to work?
It's fun that we've done a podcast every week, even before COVID, right?
Because
I remember the podcast that we did that was called Let's Never Go Back. you know?
Right.
And that was genuine. And now we're, you know, this is all part of the process. So it's fun to do this real time and be experiencing all of this. Cause there was a time when we were like, yeah, this is actually, there's a lot of stuff that I like about this. And now we're on the other side. So none of this is disingenuous. I think the answer to that question for me was literally the in-between moment, the 3 to 5 minutes in between meetings that I get to hold my daughter or play with my son or, you know, be outside, do something that just was like little moments of life-giving stuff. I actually love the work. I love like doing the work. So I didn't mind being busy, but those in-between moments where it was like, here you go to the break room and get a snack, but at home you could do like something that was slightly more life-giving.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. My just slight nuances, just having more time in the mornings. I wasn't driving anyone to school or coming into work. So I had a little more time in the morning, and that was really nice.
I think I like too. I like both of those. I love like running for 5 minutes and being with my kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they probably are like kind of glad I'm back to work.
Right, exactly.
It was like, oh, here comes dad again. But I also like that I could go do a 20-minute exercise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't do that here because I'd be all sweaty and nobody cared. So I think there was like little opportunities for flexibility and control that I had then mm-hmm. that I don't have now.
And we could do that now, but we don't.
I know.
You know?
I am starting to try to go for walks during
right.
the day.
Right.
So that's what it was. What was the best part of coming back?
The people, the creativity, like being able to just turn your chair around and talk to someone. Didn't yeah. have to like pick up the phone or...
Right. It wasn't just like, we like each yeah. other, but it was like new ideas.
I can solve yeah. this quickly.
Think about this. Our working genius, it came right. back in the first...
Couple weeks
yeah. that we were back to work. Mm-hmm. So we started to invent mm-hmm. things and develop new things because of that.
Yeah, I think that's mine too, is just being like the in-between, the secret sauce of work, not like the meetings where we get stuff done, where it's on a... That I love, but it's like this in-between thing where we're, you know, Amy asks you that question, why are you the way you are? And then it sparks a whole conversation. There's just this tendency for Zoom calls to be like, well, we're done with that topic. Okay, see you later. There's the human side, the ability to build more trust and more vulnerability that is much harder to do and has to be like way more intentional on Zoom and remotely.
Absolutely. I just thought of advice I'd give to a leader right now. I don't care what kind of organization you run. If you're bringing your people back to work and they're complaining, okay, there's a real tendency to go, you entitled mm-hmm. wussy, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And sometimes that's just true. But realize what they're really saying is there's a lot of loss.
I'm feeling loss. Right.
So don't write it off as they're just wussies. Realize they're actually asking for something. Also don't though go accommodate them in what they're saying, because it's really the transition they're struggling with, not the actual decision.
Right. Mm-hmm. And remember, you've kind of gone as a leader, you've processed it earlier probably
right.
than them, because you knew that you were faced with having to have them do this.
And you might have actually been working longer
right.
in the office. So don't write them off as just being complainers, but don't accommodate them, because what they're doing is they're venting about the transition. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily rationally arguing for a different policy.
Right. Same with your kids. Like, no, it's okay, honey. You don't have to go to school anymore.
I know.
You know?
Well, I think that's the thing. It's like, do you want to homeschool? Because I'm going to teach you every day. They're like, no, I think I'll go to school. Maybe you do need to give them that option.
Decision made. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we hope that's helpful. Remember, yes, re-entry, it sucks. It will suck. It has sucked, depending on where you are in that. And that's normal. There's nothing wrong with you. We all get used to everything. And when it changes, we have to realize there's a transition period. And so don't let it bite you in the butt, and know that you're going to be okay.
On that note, don't let it bite you in the butt.
There you go. And feel your feelings. All righty. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next time and at the table. God bless.